Good morning. One Sunday night a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the subject of truth. We considered Pilate's question to the Lord Jesus when he said, "What is truth?" And I would like to continue that subject with you this morning. Mr. Kittle says that one of the basic definitions of truth is a reality that is firm, solid, and binding, hence true. A reality that is firm, solid, and binding, hence true. I believe that we're living in a time when not only is the definition of truth not known, I don't think that the subject is even considered important. We live in a society where reality is ignored. It would seem that there is little, if any, concern over what is true. Our nation puts little stock in the truth. If it suits our purpose to tell the truth, fine. But if the means to an end require something less than the truth, and it is an acceptable end, then the truth is secondary. Government officials do not need to tell the truth if that causes complications. Businesses can bend the truth if that is what it takes to sell a product. Even though truth itself can't be bent. Once you bend it, it's no longer truth. It's acceptable business practice to play with the numbers. You can get the numbers to say anything you want them to say. It's even acceptable to embellish the truth. Add to it a little. Make it look a little better than it really is. Take a resume, for example. I used to do a lot of interviewing. I don't know if I ever saw one that was 100% true. You can make a statement that in and of itself is true. But if it leads your hearer to an incorrect assumption, and the intent is to do that, that's the same as telling a lie. You can put on your resume that your military service went from 1 year to another. Allow the other person to assume where that military service was. That's just one that's been rather prevalent in the news recently. Add to the truth to make it look a little better. And yet I would stand on the premise that we set forth the last time we considered this subject. And that premise is this. There is nothing more fundamental to human existence than the truth. reality that is firm, solid, and binding. I don't believe that the majority of Americans would know reality if they tripped over it. If it reached up and bit them in the nose. Millions of dollars, not hundreds, not thousands, not hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars are spent every weekend, 52 weeks out of the year, for people to go to the movies. Millions more that don't spend their money at the movies are home watching television. And the primary substance of TV and movies is the visual display of every imaginable fantasy. Picture yourself doing something you can't really do. Forget reality. Live out your fantasy. Abuse of drugs and alcohol in this country is rampant. Why? Because it gives an escape to reality. Temporary as that might be. Our nation refused to deal with the reality that our national debt is over $1 trillion. If we ignore it, maybe it'll go away. Having things that we really can't afford. Make-believe money is a way of life in this nation. Millions of men and women refuse to accept the reality that responsibility comes with pleasure. When you grow up, you take on more responsibility. When you start making your own decisions, you start taking on responsibility. And for your pleasures come responsibility. But we refuse to accept as a nation that responsibility. We want the good time, but we don't want the responsibility. One of the results is that the baby dies. Abortion. Acceptable in the United States. Millions more refuse to accept that some things are just plain wrong. That's the truth. That's reality. People would have you to believe that it depends on your morals or your value system or from what angle you look at something. But the truth can't be changed. You can break an arm, and you still have an arm. You break the truth, and it disintegrates. Like that tape Mr. Phelps used to listen to. There's nothing left. There's no such thing as a half-truth. as a white lie. If this podium was 36 inches wide, and I took a yardstick that said 1 inch on this end and 36 inches on this end, and I cut 6 inches out of the middle and pasted it together, and I measured this podium again, and now it says 42 inches. Did the podium change? Or was there something wrong with the yardstick? By the way you look at things, it might be right. By your moral systems, it might be right. But that does not affect the truth. Truth is absolute. Truth can't change, or else it wouldn't be truth. What's one of the results? That's of the fact that we refuse to accept the reality that some things are just plain wrong. A virus called AIDS is reaching epidemic proportions. All of this points to the fact that Pilate asked a very valid question and a very relevant question. What is truth? Psalm 119, verse 160, says that God's word is true from the beginning. You see, long before Pilate asked that question, the debate raged over what is truth. For more than 6,000 years, the battle has raged. With human lives at stake over Pilate's very question. What is truth? The moment that Lucifer said he would be like the Most High, the debate has raged. You see, that was the first lie. That can't be the truth. If Lucifer could be like the Most High, then the Most High wasn't the Most High. Because there was something else that would be Most High. It's like having something that's very unique. And so from the first time, from when Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High, he has been battling with the Most High over what is truth. Turn to the second chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he had said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Who do you believe? What is truth? No one had ever suggested to Eve before that God might not be telling the truth. Hadn't entered her mind. Maybe he isn't all he says he is. Maybe he's not the Most High. Maybe he doesn't even exist. Who's to say that the serpent wasn't telling the truth? You know, every human being that has lived since Adam and Eve has had to decide for themselves that same issue. What is truth? Eve chose to believe the serpent. Who was telling the truth? Turn over to chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you have a problem accepting that truth? Have you ever seen someone that hasn't died? Has there ever been a record of someone that has lived and lived and lived and not died? Thy word is true from the beginning. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Let's see if that statement holds. Micah chapter 5 comes right after Jonah. Page 1153, if you have a Bible like mine. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. John chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19. In verse 23. Then the soldiers which they had crucified, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be. Chapter 20 and verse 19. The same day, at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in their midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door is being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. It's true, Thomas. The words that the prophet spoke 1,000 years before, they're true. They pierced my hands and my feet. Why, if he is the ruler, why, if he is to be king of the Jews, did he have to die? Why, if he's the Son of God, did he have to die? Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, an atonement for many. John chapter 19 again. John chapter 19 and verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. And his record is true. God knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. The battle still rages. Satan and what he says is true. God and what he says is true. And the casualties in the battle are human lives. God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Satan says, you can't really believe that, can you? A God of love? A God that loves us so much would really send one of his creature man into an eternal separation from himself. John says, I saw the substitute. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ take my death penalty on that cross, so that I might have everlasting life and not die. He said, I saw it. And I saw the blood that must be shed for remission of sins. I saw the blood flow. That's the truth. And I'm telling you the truth so that you might believe. You can escape the death penalty. The truth hasn't changed. The soul that sinneth, it must die. But God has provided a substitute. He took your death penalty. And he took it on himself. First he became man. A real man with real flesh and bones and real blood. And then as a perfect man, created a perfect sacrifice. First Peter chapter 1. And verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your empty life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That blood that was shed to redeem your life. Who's telling the truth? First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Regardless of what that yardstick said, it didn't alter the size of this podium. And John says, regardless of what you say, that will not alter the truth. If you say you have no sin, you lie. The soul that sinneth, it must die. The battle still rages over what is truth. Who are you going to believe? God has proved to man over and over again that he does not lie. He is truth. He is the very essence of truth. And his Son is made in his image. His Son is truth. He was able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No variance. No change. You bend the truth, it disintegrates. Who do you believe? If you eat of the tree, Adam, you will die. Now, Adam, really, you're not going to die. And Adam died. Like Eve, we each have to decide for ourselves what is truth. Who are you going to believe? You have to answer for yourself. You remember Eve's answer? Oh, but Lord, the serpent told me. Lord says that doesn't matter. It's who you believe. If you haven't believed that God is telling the truth, why not today accept God's word as truth? Accept His Son as your Savior. Accept the sacrifice of His Son as a sacrifice made on your behalf. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Make the decision today. If you haven't made it already, God's telling the truth. God is truth. Don't put off accepting that truth. The Bible stands as a rock undaunted through the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. The Bible stands, though the earth may crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. So we pray. Father, we thank Thee again for Thy word. We thank Thee again, Father, for Thy truth. We thank Thee, Father, that we can know with a full assurance that Thy word is true. And from Thy word, Father, we learn of Thy eternal love for us. We thank Thee for all Thy love for us. If there's any here today, Father, that have not accepted Thy word as truth, we pray that even now, before it's eternally too late, they will decide to believe Thee and Thy word and reject Satan and his lie. Help us, Father, to walk in the truth and to be a witness of that truth. As time remains and Thou seest fit to leave us here, to be a witness to those around us that Thou art a God of truth. Thank Thee, Father, most of all for Thy Son, for all that He's accomplished on our behalf. It's in His name we pray. Amen.